What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I am your host, Xavier Miller. I'm sitting here with my co-host, as usual, Deanna Kent.
What's up, everybody?
So what's going on, everybody? Hope you guys are having a good day, good evening, whatever time it is while you're listening. I hope you guys are pretty much being progressive and progressing today. And today we want to discuss an important topic for the culture. This is a big topic for the culture, I believe. I know I say every topic is a big topic, but I truly believe every topic that we discuss, it is something important and beneficial to the listeners. So today's topic, we want to discuss cultural norms and pretty much, is the system broken that we have in place? And I'll get more into what I mean by that. And what made me want to discuss this topic was recently we just passed Martin Luther King's birthday a couple days ago or whatever. And I was thinking to myself when I was just thinking to myself, I'm thinking like, okay, Dr. King, he died in 1968. I'm like, man, if he was living today, but if he could see what's going on today, like, what would he think? Like, what would his thoughts be on us as a culture, as a whole? Like, what would just be his thoughts on everything, on what's going on right now? And not just far as, like what's going on, like, politically. I mean, like, economically. I mean, politically, too, but I just wanted, like, what's, because, the thing is, like, in the media, they always portray Dr. King as just this, like, I have a dream person. This, I have a dream that we all can sit at the table and eat together, which is cool and which is true. He did say those things, but that speech happened in 1963. Dr. King didn't die until 1968. So he lived a whole extra 5 years after that speech. And the media, they always portray it as, like, I know me for growing up, it always seemed like he did that speech. And then he died like 2 days later. He did that speech and like that was the last thing he did that was important of his life. And when the reality is, like I said, he lived a whole extra 5 years. So they never played. Like he did speeches after that. They make it sound like that was the last one. Like he did. Like, so what did his other speeches say? And you do the research, like as he got older and stuff, the last 5 years of his life, he would start focusing on like economics. He was like saying stuff like in some of his speeches, he was saying stuff like, we going back to Washington to get our check. He started talking about like reparations and stuff like he felt like money that the government owes us. He started speaking more and more things like that, but they never talk about those things. So like with him having that transition mentally, I just was wondering, like, I wonder what he would think of like what's going on right now.
I feel you.
See you, Bill?
Yeah. I personally don't think he would be too pleased with the economic state of our culture. Just because, like, think of it like this. Like, money is equivalent to having power. And we don't have power here in America. And a lot of that is due to the fact that we don't have money. And our culture is one of the biggest spenders in America. And it was like the average African American can keep a dollar for less than what, like 4 hours or something before they go spend it.
Something
crazy like that. But I don't really, like, overall, I don't think he'd be too pleased with us economically.
But we have, like, it's crazy how, like, we're doing it worse economically, but we have, like, the studies say it's $1.3 trillion of spending power. And they say if we was, like, a country, we'd be the ninth richest country in the world. So that says a lot. That says like we have the money. It's just that we don't understand economics. And plus, the thing is, like, this is why I say he would. I think, in my opinion, I think he would see, like, man, I don't want to say we gotten worse, but I don't think we gotten better. I think he would be like, ain't no progress. We still got the same. We got the same strategy. We got the same playbook. We ain't upgraded our playbook. That's why I say the system is broken, because we still got the same plays. We still doing the same thing. Like, even in the 60s, the 50s, 60s, and all that, like, black entrepreneurship, black businesses was, like, affluent. It was, like, because the segregation. Like, we couldn't be with white folks. We couldn't go in their neighborhoods and all that. So we had our own stuff. We had our own businesses, restaurants, own clothing stores. We had our own everything. So then when segregation came into a place, that pretty much killed all black businesses, because we were so thirsty to integrate with them. And seeing that, I think if he could see that, he'd be like, damn, we Like we traded equity for equality, which is the worst trade that anybody can make. You can make in human history. You can't trade your power because money is power. You can't trade your power for you to feel like you equal to somebody. It's the dumbest thing in the world, and that's what we basically traded, I believe. And I feel like elders that understand that, seeing that, they're like, damn, like what happened?
Because, you know, a lot of black entrepreneurs complain about the lack of support from black people in their businesses.
I don't want to say complain. It's valid. It's not a complaint.
But it's an issue. It's a known issue for black entrepreneurs. And a lot of that is due to the fact that it's like kind of this mindset that we have that we need to shop at the white stores, the major stores, because in our heads, like, not only am I equal to them because I can buy the same stuff, but it's just like this whole, I don't know, it's weird how they've gotten our mindsets to believe, like, it kind of puts us on their level when we shop at their stores and we do all the stuff they want us to do, instead of us, like, supporting each other in our businesses.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just a cultural... Not a cultural, it's just a mind fuck that they do. You know what I'm saying? Which is, I mean, we just gotta boss up and understand the game. We gotta, like I keep saying, we gotta upgrade our playbook. We still, like I said, we still doing the same things that we've been doing forever. Which some of the things that we did could have worked back then, 30 years ago, but as things change, as technology advance, you know, different policies and different laws come into place, you gotta make changes in your strategies. You know what I'm saying? Like the things we're doing right, like just for instance, the things we're doing right now to elevate our business, to build our wealth, some of these strategies are going to be in place 20 years from now we can continue doing, but we're not going to be doing this exact same thing we're doing 20 years from now, because it's not going to make sense. It's going to be a different time, so you got to have a different strategy. And as a culture, we still doing the exact same thing that we've been doing. We ain't upgraded it. Like we still, like some of our cultural norms is, all right, go to school, go to college, rack up all this debt to go to college. You know what I'm saying? You get, which was cool 30, 40 years ago, because you could go to college for cheaper and you had more, it was more jobs where you could, your degree, well, master job you had, then you making money, you ain't got all the debt. But now times is totally different. College is, I don't want to say it's not important, I'm not against it, but it's not absolutely necessary as it was 30, 40 years ago. You know what I'm saying? And we haven't upgraded that playbook at all. And like we mentioned before, when we have children, it's not gonna be something for us, like go to college. If you got a plan, it's not gonna be no debt involved. And you know what I'm saying? You know what you wanna do exactly, that's cool. But you got, let's be realistic, most people that's going to college, they don't know what they wanna do. They don't have a plan. It's like, I just graduated high school. I don't really know. I might as well just go to college. When it's like, who the hell knows what they want to do at 18 years old? Exactly. Most people don't.
And most people who haven't been to college are the main ones who are like, you need to go to college to be successful. But it's like, that's not true at all. You do not have to go to college to be successful. And it's other alternatives out there, but a lot of people don't know. So I know one that's a big problem in our culture is our parents push so hard for us to go to college when that was your time. This isn't, you know, how things are today. And I think it should be encouraged that black children explore other avenues as far as, you know, how to make money, entrepreneurship, starting a business, investing, instead of just go to college. Because in reality, if you don't have the money to afford college, and you go to college just getting student loan, that's not a good way to start off your life.
It's not. It's a terrible way to start off your life, but it's just a cycle. Most people don't understand that when they forcing that down on people's throats, they just forcing them to repeat the cycle. And that's one of the worst. The college thing is one of the worst things that we haven't upgraded our opinions on it, in my opinion. Because college is still looked at as something that has to be done. And I feel like that's something that they trick us into believing, because that's a lot of money and people going to college and racking up that debt. That's a billion-dollar industry. They can hella money from people going to school, getting degrees that don't matter, non-marketable degrees that don't even matter no more. Mm-hmm. Going, you know what I'm saying? So, and that's another thing. Like, you got to understand with the times that's changed, the advances in technology, artificial intelligence about to come into place, virtual reality, all those things about to come into place. So, for those who are not familiar with that, I would suggest you do your research. But all those things coming into place, college worth is definitely about to drop. It's already didn't drop substantially, but it's really about to drop now when all these things really come into place, like big time. It's gonna drop, and people going to school for degrees, and I don't want to knock nobody that got a degree, so I don't want to say something specific. I can't even really think of something specific, but people want to get degrees in like history, get degrees in like, you know, just crazy stuff. Well, it's not even crazy, it's just, it might have been cool 30 years ago because you could have benefited off that. But right now, it's completely irrelevant. Yeah. It's nothing beneficial when you get that degree. You're going to get that degree and you're going to do something and you ain't going to have nothing to do with that degree. So you racked up all that debt. Most importantly, you wasted your time. You racked up all that debt and now you getting a job that's not even going to pay for you to get out of it.
And see, I think you see that K-12, they don't teach kids nothing about economics, building credit, just anything about the real world. It's all fluff. Like, know the history of your country, mathematics, reading, the basics.
And 2x plus 5, 7. Like, why do I need to know that?
That's taught literally from the age of 4 or 5 all the way up to the age 18. So then they dangle college in front of you like, all right, you come to college, you're going to really learn something. You're going to, you know, get prepared for the real world, get a job and all that. And that's how they coerce people into spending all this money on college. But if they would just take the time to teach children this stuff in like high school and middle school, the basic, you know, just basic things about living, economics, money, investing, college would be completely irrelevant. And it's just like a huge, huge money play to get people to come to college.
Yeah, it's just a whole, like I said, it's a whole like system that's set in place where, but I'm gonna get off college right now because we already know the game of that and how they play that. But another thing that we still doing, in my opinion, as definitely in the black community that we still do is the when you turn 18, you gotta get out of my house type shit. You can't stay here no more. You're grown now. And the thing with that is, what people don't realize is, in other communities, that's not really a big thing. Like, they think is, all right, you 18, I don't want you to go and get all this debt and start your life on a bad footing. I want you to, all right, you can stay here for as long as you want, as long as you working, you know, rack up you some bread, save your bread, say you don't rack up the debt. And then when you know what I'm saying, you got you some assets built, boom. Then you can leave and get on your own. But in our community, it's like I said, you graduate high school, you ain't going to college, you gotta get up out of here, you gotta do something. And that's the worst mentality, because we just repeating our whole cycle of not a growth cycle. That's the opposite of growth. You can't like, because you gotta think, in the environments that we come up in, we didn't really talk anything from kindergarten to, like most of us, we ain't talk like real things that we could use in the real world. Most of us not really taught that. If you got somebody in your family that's on game, luckily enough, and they giving you game, all right, cool, that's a few of us. But most of us, we have no clue what's going on in the real world and like how to do it. So you got somebody that's growing up like that, then they turn 18 and you telling them they got to get out the house and live on that, like, not, I don't want to say live like baby and them, but you telling them they got to get out the house and, you know, find their way. Like, what do you expect that person to do? Well, what do you expect them to be successful? You ain't even gave them no blueprint, no game, no nothing. They don't know how to get money. They don't know how to save money. They don't know how to invest money. They don't know how to work around certain different people. Because as I learned, the older you get and the more growth you, the more you grow, the more you're going to be around different people. Mm-hmm. And everybody's not the same. So you got to know how to maneuver around different people. And if you ain't ever been put on game, like me, I wasn't put on game today. I had to learn the hard way through experience. But if somebody would have taught me this, like, hey, when you get around, like, not be yourself, but like, you gotta maneuver differently. Cause some people don't think like you, they don't see things the way you see it. They might have little prejudices toward you and stuff, but you still gotta get through that because it's life, and you gotta, you know what I'm saying? You gotta boss up over that. But you gotta know how to boss up over that. I ain't know, I had to learn the hard way. But if you got somebody giving you game, but like I'm saying is, if somebody don't know all that stuff and they just throwing out to the water at 18, what do you really expect from them? Mm-hmm. You shouldn't expect nothing but failure. Anything, if they do success, that's just like, they done beat the odds. And so many of us, we going through that cycle of just get out at 18 type shit. Yeah. And we've been doing that forever in our community.
And I think it goes back to the fact that kids go to school from the age of, 5 to 18. Majority of their time is spent in school. So a lot of parents become very dependent on what's being taught to them in school to prepare them for the real world.
Right.
So when 18 comes, they're like, oh, well, you've been in school this whole time. You should be good. You know, you can go and get out. But in reality, that's
you ain't learning shit in school.
Has taught them nothing to prepare them. And a big thing in our community, not to knock anyone, but We kind of like rush life a little too fast. Like, you know, you out the house at 18, let's be honest, like a lot of us go out and get in relationships, have kids, before you really try to explore the world and the experience. Like by 22, 23, you kind of like tied down to family life now. And you at that age, that happens to you at 22, 23. Then when your child becomes 18, you want your freedom back. You want your glory years back. And that's, I think, a big reason why a lot of people push their kids out at 18. But if instead you waited it out, you got your life together, you experienced some stuff, you explored the world and learned some more, then you will have a different outlook on pushing your kid out the house so fast. Because you like, all right, I still got time to nurture you and get you prepared for everything I already know that's going to happen. You can't teach somebody something you don't already know. So it's like, when people kick them out at 18, they don't even know what they, you know, sending them out to.
They don't. And that's like a selfishness that we have. And I'm not going to keep, like, down and trying to down, like, the culture or nothing. Talking like I'm above or something. Because we all got, I'm in it. I'm living it myself. I'm the problem as well. But I want to help become one of the solutions, or at least try to. And that's like,
we can't fix it if we don't talk about it.
You're right, we can't fix it if we don't talk about it. And this is super important, I feel. And we, and like you touched on relationships and stuff. And just to be real, I'm trying to see how I'm gonna word this. Just like being real, like we have to understand there's like a healing process for most people before you could just dive in a relationship. Like, before you dive in a relationship with somebody, you know what I'm saying? You see somebody, they, like, the first thing that meets the eyes, like, they attractive. Okay, cool. That checks the box. Then y'all start spending time. Okay, you like their personality. You like the person they are. Cool. And then after that, that's really all that matters for a lot of people. They just dive on in a relationship. Just sink or swim. I'm diving in. Then they get in, then they find out all this is just turmoil with this person. So much like deep stuff that was deeper than what meets the eye. You know what I'm saying? And they ain't realize that, so they too deep in a relationship. Now they in love. Now they having all these problems. But I say all this to say there has to be a deep dive. You have to really dig into somebody before you start their relationship. Mm-hmm. That's something as a culture that we all gotta get on code about. Before I get in, you gotta be thinking, before I get in a relationship with this person, it's gonna be a deep analysis. And I don't mean like you put them on the board and just be like, I got 100 questions for you. Not this, I'm just saying like a really deep analysis as to, that was.
Like, why are you asking me all these questions?
That's rhyme example. I wasn't even gonna say that. But when we first got to, the first time we kicked it, I was asking you like 100 questions.
I know. I thought we was about to chill.
Nah.
You was asking me question after question. It was like the longest conversation of my life.
You probably, I know you ain't understand like why you asking me all these questions at the time, but I was doing that to really. I didn't want to let you know why I was doing it, because you might have been like, "That's weird." But I was doing that just because I was scouting you. I'm trying to see like. Cause I'm like, all right, cool. You attractive. Your personality is cool, but I really don't know you yet. And before I dive all in into like, all right, I want to be with you type stuff, I need to find out who you really are. Cause that's gonna come out eventually. And then if I'm too deep, I'm like, damn, I ain't know this. So let me ask you all these questions about this, that. See what your mindset is. And I'm like, all right, okay, cool. That's why I was just asking you so many questions. Like, you know what I'm saying? But just in a regular conversation. But I feel like we need to do that. Everybody needs to do that, man. I feel like that's the root of so many problems. We don't really know who the people is that we get involved with. You don't know them. Then when all the bad stuff happen, you looking like, where'd this come from? Where'd this come from? This is not you. When in reality, that is them. You just think you. If you got to know them, you would have known that's really them. But you never put the time or research in to really figure out them. Not the fluff stuff. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you got to have the I don't want to say it's not an ugly conversations, but you got to have the real conversations first before you can get all to the bubble gums. You can get to the bubble gums.
Time and money.
You can get to the bubble gum stuff later. You know what I'm saying? People want to avoid that. They don't want to have the real conversations off top because it's like, you know what I'm saying? No, we having fun. No, I had a real conversation now.
Mm-hmm.
So then you could have the choice of like, okay, I know this about them. So do I want to get involved? Yes or no? So whatever happens after that, you can't blame nobody. You're responsible. Mm-hmm. Whatever happens to that, happens.
So let me say this. So, you know, in some countries, the mother and the father choose who their child marries. Or with some wealthy families,
yeah.
If you marry someone that they don't approve of or out the family, they cut you off completely. And
So before you start, do you think that is a good thing? Or you think that's a smart... Wait. Before you answer... We got to go to commercial break. You know, if y'all are listening, you know, this is our first time going from commercial break. I don't know, but our show growing now. We expanding. We got sponsors and stuff now. So we got to do commercial break. We got to get, you know what I'm saying? Got to get those ads in. So I want you to hold on to that question. Or just hold on to it a little while longer. And we'll be right back. All right, y'all. Welcome back. Fresh from break, so I know Deanna, she proposed the question, but I wanted her to wait on her answer. But to get back into it, say, what was the question again?
So the question was, you know, in other countries, the mother and the father, they choose who their child marries, and with some families, some of the larger wealthy families, if their child chooses to marry someone who pretty much like isn't of their stature or someone they don't approve of, they cut them off from the family completely. So the question was like, how do you feel about that?
I feel like that's cool, but I don't feel like we need to do that. Cause you know what I'm saying? You know, America is all about freedom of choice. Doing what, you know what I'm saying? Having your own mindset. I feel like we just need to install a new system, a new cultural way of thinking, where you could trust your offspring's decision on who they bring to you. If we create that system, that process is not needed because you know I done put enough seeds and gems into my child that they gonna bring. I know they gonna bring me back somebody that's like, they're not gonna bring me back no person that ain't got his stuff together. You know what I'm saying? But I don't feel like there's nothing wrong with that process, honestly. But I feel like we just need a new system. Like, my whole mindset is the system that we have in place is broken. Ain't no way around it. And if you don't believe so, just look around you. See what's going on as a culture. See what's. And I ain't talking about just look at celebrities and see. Because if you out in a boondock somewhere and you just see what's going on with celebrities live, you would think we lit as a culture right now. But I'm talking just day to day, look around your life and the people that you see every day and judge it off that. Don't judge it off on how the media portraying it or, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I personally, I like it. I don't see nothing wrong with it. But like how you said, if the parent does what they're supposed to do from you know, birth up until the time is, you know, time for them to go out there and find a partner, somebody they want to be with, then I feel like if the parent does their job, you shouldn't really have to worry about nothing. But I do think we need to install more value in, you know, like being with someone, because a lot of stuff you see on mainstream media, like I was watching couples arguing, yelling at each other, they fuss and fight, then they back together. And like a lot of the people, they make out to be like these couple goals, have very like unstable relationships. These shouldn't be the people we're looking up to. So I think we need better role models and just more values on your relationship and, you know, choosing a partner, somebody you want to be with the rest of your life. It just needs to be more value in it, not just somebody who, you know, is cool to hang out with for the moment or really looks good or has this job or this car and stuff like that. It just needs to be more value in it. And you need to think for your family, like, long term. If you bring this person in, can they benefit the family as a whole?
Yup, I mean, I really can't add on much of that. I agree 100%. But to move on to another cultural norm or something that I feel like somebody from back, an elder from back then, they could see, like, that we still doing this thing, that we ain't upgraded our playbook, as I keep saying, they'll be like, hey, y'all need to chill on that. Another thing that we do as a culture, or this is not even just within our culture, countrywide, probably worldwide, I don't know, but is the house thing, is the buying a house as soon as like listen, in America, everything is, they got a system where they put in place where everything is like, it's planned out and rushed, and it's like, this is what you're supposed to do. It's like, all right, you go to school, boom, you go to high school, boom, you graduate, supposed to go to college, boom, you graduate college, you supposed to get a job, you supposed to graduate college, rack up all this debt, boom, get you a job, help you start paying off the debt, find you somebody, get married, have kids, buy a house with the picket fence, get a dog, and they force you to do all these things. Not even force, it's encouraged for you to do all these things before you even built up your assets, before you even built up your mindset, before you even built up before you fully become the person you, like, before you ready and you become the person that you want to be, all those things is, like, shoved down your throat. Like, do this, do this, do that. And people feel like, oh, I have to do this. And my thing is with a house, you already know, a house, in my opinion, is not a house that you're living in. I'm not talking about investment properties and none of those things. But a house that you're living in my opinion, is a liability. You know what I'm saying? Because think about it like this. Most of the time, you're putting between like 3 to 20% down on a crib. So let's just say somebody get a $350,000, $400,000 house. They put 20% down on that. What's 20% of $400,000? What is that? 100? No, like 80, like something like 80 to 100,000, something like that. So somebody putting all that down on a house that most people ain't even got in the first place. So you already got the student loan debt. You know what I'm saying? You probably got a kid on the way. Then you're like, all right, I gotta get a house. Cause I remember growing up, and I used to always hear adults say, like, tell other people that was coming up, like, oh, you gotta get a house. Time for you to get a house. And I used to be thinking like, damn, there's some pressure. I used to be thinking like, I gotta do that too. When I was an adult, I understand that's the silliest thing you could do if you ain't got your shit straight. I feel like people should buy a house when you got the bread to really buy them up. You could like probably buy it outright if you wanted to without it like really affecting your life. Until that point, I'm pro renting and racking up assets. Just racking up assets, and then your assets coming in so much, you got that consistent cash flow, then you buy a house. It's a terrible mistake to buy a house and not have any assets. Yeah. You got a mortgage to pay every single month that you trapped to. You got a debt. You got a $300,000-$400,000 debt that you trapped to, and you ain't got no assets coming in. And then you put so much on the down payment, you can't even play offense because you didn't use all your capital to get in the house that you gotta pay mortgage for. That's a terrible norm that we have.
But let's not forget this, because before you, a lot of time before you get to the house stage and the debt of the house, like we said, you started off with your college debt. That's the first step. A lot of people forget that. We talk about relationships, but we ain't bring up the marriage debt. A lot of people want to have these extravagant weddings and all that.
Oh, yeah,
so not it. Only did y'all get together, both of y'all, with the student debt, now you get married and you take on the debt of that wedding. And they say average weddings in America is ranging like 20 to 30K. So that's the debt of the wedding on top of everything. And now you go buy a house and the cars and throw that all on top. And I feel like for us as a whole, just not even just culture, but people in general, we care too much about how people perceive us.
Mm-hmm.
And we make a lot of these decisions based off of perception. We want people to see us as doing good and having money and being stable. When in reality, you don't make all these bad financial decisions from the age of 18 that's pretty much unscrewed up your future.
Exactly. That's a great point. That's why I tweeted that time. I said I'd rather look broke and be wealthy than look rich and be poor. Just saying, I really don't care what people think about me. It took me time to get to this place mentally, because it was a point in time I wasn't always like this. It was a point in time I did care what people think about me. And that comes from when your self-esteem is not all the way built up. You feel like you need things to be like, to feel like you're worthy. You feel like, I need this car, I need this house, I need this so-and-so, you know what I'm saying? But when you understand this system and how it works, and you do a deep dive into yourself, you free from all those things that you feeling like materials is exclusive to your worth. It's like, that don't define me. I don't care about none of that. If I do got some of that stuff, it wasn't nothing for me to get it, and I just got it, okay, cool, because I like it. But this stuff don't define me. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, people. It's a huge thing in our culture. Like, we want to stunt before we put the work in, which is the backwards. Is I don't even know what. That's super backwards. We want to. That's not even just within our culture anymore. That's something with social media. That's all around. Everybody want to stunt before they put the work in or whatever. But you gotta get to a point where you don't really care what people think about you, because you focus on you and doing you. You like, all right, I got a long life. I'll have all that stuff later. I don't need all that stuff right now anyway. It's cool. You know what I'm saying? Where everybody's spending their last trying to look like they doing such and such, I'm getting my stuff right. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think we need to get out of this mentality. Like, because I know how you feel it, but as like teenagers and all this, when you ain't got it, like the people around you, or you ain't got all the money you feel like your family should have, we got this whole thing where we feel like we're being deprived of something.
Yeah.
And the moment we get a little bit of money, we feel like we need to go buy all the things we never had, to make up for all those years of not having it. And we need to get out of that mentality. Like, because that ruins a lot of people from the jump. Because you go spend all that money, and then next thing you know, you back to point A. You ain't really progress nowhere. You had an opportunity, but you blow all your money. So we need to get out of that mentality and think long term and learn how to, like, control your emotions and pretty much your wants. A lot of people don't know how to navigate that, control, like, their wants and all this stuff. Like, you go to the store, you say, I want this, I want that. And a lot of people can't control themselves. They just convince themselves, like, yeah, it's cool, go buy it. When in reality, you ain't even got that money to spend right now.
We spend emotionally and we justify it logically, which is backwards. I mean, no way. You should, but that's it. But we just got, like, my thing is, we got a bunch of things, but we could ease the good part is we could easily fix them. You know what I'm saying? Especially just by having a conversation first, not trying to avoid it, having a head on. You know what I'm saying?
We just need to talk more. We need to put stuff out there, quit pushing, suppressing down our feelings and our thoughts. We need to just, everybody as a culture, people around you, just talk through stuff. And that's why mental health is a really big thing right now, because a lot of people don't take the time to like really talk and do a deep dive of themselves. So if possible, make sure you do that.
Yeah. That's a fact, man. We're going to wrap up in a minute. We ain't going to make this a long episode, but I just want to touch on some things that I know as a coach that we need to, as I'm going to keep saying, we need to upgrade our playbook. We need to scrap out that old playbook. Like I keep saying, the system that we got in place is broke. It ain't elevating us. It's not progressing us no longer. All the things that we used to do. The crazy part is all the things that we used to do that was proven that to not work for us, we still doing them. And some of the stuff that we did that did used to work for us, it's not like, it's the things that we did that didn't work for us, we still, which is crazy, we still like doing it. I don't know why we don't scrap it out. Like how we already touched on the college thing. And like I said again, I'm not down talking nobody. I'm a part of it too. But I wanna be the builder, so I don't want nobody to hear this and feel like I'm looking down on people. No, I'm in the mud too with everybody that's listening. We all a part of this together. Ain't no one man better than nobody or one woman better than nobody. We all in this together. But another thing, cause a lot of people been hitting me up talking about so I want to touch on this, talking about student loans and stuff. They've been asking, like, all right, so I'm in college, and I got student loans debt or whatever. And should I be investing while I have this debt? Or should I pay off this debt and not invest? Like, or should I invest and just, like, wait to pay off the debt? They've been, like, kind of stuck on what to do. So this is my thing and, like, my solution to it. So if you in college or you was in college and you got student loan debt, but you still want to invest, the thing is you have to base it on, in my opinion, you have to base it on your interest rate of that debt. So let's say, for example, if you went to college and you got student loan debt and it's $20,000, right? So you got $20,000 of student loan debt, let's say the interest rate is like 2-3%. So that's extremely low. So if you got that much student loan debt, but the interest rate is that low, you can still invest and still pay off your debt. You could do both at the same time. You could focus on the debt and be paying it off because the interest rate so low, and you could keep investing your money. So then by the time your debt paid off, you still got a good amount of money that you got invested. Mm-hmm. Now on the other side of that, if you got an interest rate for your student loan debt that's high, let's say your interest rate like 20%, which is high, that's high as hell. So if you got an interest rate that's that high, you need to postpone all extra things you do with your money, which is cool. You need to postpone investing. You need to postpone going out. You need to postpone whatever. Because the thing is, if you keep letting that debt linger, that's going to be the kill factor. And before you know it, it's going to be so much higher than that $20,000. Then you're going to be looking back like, dang, I ain't going to never pay this off. The thing is, you got to kill it immediately. You can't let it snowball up. If you got an interest rate that's that high, postpone your investment, postpone whatever extra stuff you're doing, and go all in on that debt and pay it off. And then when that debt paid off, get back into investing, go get back into doing all the things you're doing. Build your money back up.
Don't follow all these culture norms.
Right. So I just wanted to get on that real quick because a lot of people been asking me that like the past couple of weeks, and I know I haven't touched on it, so I almost forgot. So I wanted to touch on that real quick. It's all about the interest rate. If your interest rate high, stop investing for a second, just for a while, and go all on your debt. If your interest rate low, you can do both at the same time, which is it's pretty much a easy fix. But the most important thing you got to focus on is income. You got to make sure you got money coming in. You got to work one job, you got to work two jobs, you got to start a bit. Whatever you got to do, you always got to make sure you got income coming in. So many of us, I talked about this in the video, and this is another cultural norm we had, and I didn't even think about this till now. We got a cultural norm where it's like, while we in college or while we in high school and graduate, it's all about having fun. It's like, I'll worry about the serious stuff later. I'll put this off to later. You know, I'm kicking it right now. I'll give me a little job at so-and-so, but I ain't really thinking about that right now. I'll think about it later. We was like, no, you should always be thinking about Bring an income in. Cause you could, the thing is, you could save your money. Saving is cool. That's one thing. But it's only so much money you can save. Mm-hmm. There's no limit to how much income you can have. There's no limit to that. You only get, if you make $50,000 a year, it's only so much money you can save. But if you starting businesses and doing this and doing that, there's, like I said, there's no cap to how much money you can make. So you got to focus on income. Income should always be the first priority. Focus on bringing more money in. Then when you bringing that money in, then you worry about how much I'm going to save, how much I'm going to, you worry about how much I'm going to invest, what I'm going to do, you know what I'm saying? Then you worry about all that. My thing is income first, investing second. Investing becomes, is before saving, in my opinion. It's income first, investing third is saving. But, you know what I'm saying? Worry about paying yourself first, and then do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. That's all. I just wanted to touch on something real quick. But you guys, anything else you want to add to the conversation? You sure? Mm-hmm. You good? Well, we about to get ready to wrap up, guys. I appreciate all y'all for tuning in. As usual, I swear we've been getting so much love lately. Our numbers been going crazy with the podcast, which was like, I wasn't even expecting this to happen so fast. And this is only our, what's that, our six?
Six? Seven.
Okay.
I think we did six last week. This is seven.
We ain't do one last week.
The week before. We on seven.
It's seven. Well, this is our seventh episode, and I swear I really, really appreciate all you guys listening, that's giving me feedback or whatever. And for all you guys, don't forget to subscribe to our pod, the Millionaire Mindsets podcast. You can subscribe, rate it. Don't forget that. Don't forget to like our YouTube channel, comment, subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Don't be afraid to reach out to us. Let us know. Give us any feedback you may have on the podcast. Or if you have something you want us to bring up in the podcast, topics or anything of that nature, feel free to let us know.
Yeah, definitely feel free. If you got any, because a lot of people hit me up with questions and stuff like that. That's how a lot of our topics is based on. If you have any questions or anything you want us to discuss or anything, don't feel free to hit us up. And we'll definitely talk about it on our soon podcast. So that's pretty much it. And before we wrap, let them know about the new
MLM. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the Millionaire Mindsets daily text subscription by texting MMindsets at MMindsets to 81010.
And don't forget the at sign. Mm-hmm. Just say it again. At the letter M, then Mindsets at to
81010.
And that's pretty much it. And for those who haven't already, please follow us on my Instagram is Xavier C. Miller. My Twitter is I think the Xavier C. Miller, and my Facebook is the same. And yours?
All of my social media platforms are Deanna Kent. Twitter is Deanna S. Kent.
Yep. So like I said, don't forget to follow us and comment whatever you guys like she said, if y'all want to hit us up with anything, hit us up. And like I said, we appreciate all y'all for listening. We definitely appreciate it. I can't say it enough, for real. And see you guys next episode. Peace.
All right.